1-800-449-8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
Craig was just mentioning, and I think it bears repeating, that cocaine usage in the United States has probably plummeted, because who is going to want to shove white powder up their nose during these very nerve-wracking times? Also, good idea for you guys at CBS. How about this one? How about Survivor Afghanistan? Drop them in there. Now, speaking of the Afghanistan people and bin Laden and the propaganda war, bin Laden said to CNN, or no, his lieutenants said to CNN, some of the people associated with him, I don't even know if they were lieutenants, but Nick Robertson of CNN got an interview with a couple of members of the Al-Qaeda network, and they said that bin Laden issued the warning that if any homes are destroyed in this war, the United States of America will suffer the serious repercussions and consequences. Now, you can see right there where the guy further aligns himself with the average Afghan citizen. You take out any civilians, now you got some trouble. So the guy, everywhere you turn, this guy has got a propaganda momentum going that's pretty strong. So then you got to ask yourself the question, well, how important is propaganda? Propaganda is important because you want to get the people on your side. Why do we want to get the people on our side? Because they need to be on our side. Why do they need to be on our side? Because we need those governments to be stable. And why do we need those governments to be stable? Because ultimately American interests in that part of the world are vital, and we need stable, friendly governments to help service those interests and needs. And what am I talking about when I say interests and needs? You know what I've been talking about for the last month. Oil. Or as Popeye calls it, Earl. But whatever. The whole reason why we're in the middle of this is because of that, and there ain't no getting around it. And yes, we have a friendship, long-standing support with a fellow democratic nation in that part of the world, Israel. Little Israel, surrounded, harassed, attacked, citizens murdered for over 50 years. Israel, a democracy. Funny how we just sort of come to the aid of people who have democratic principles in keeping with our own. Also because it seems to us that for centuries and centuries and centuries, Jews were harassed and run out of every country in the world. And when they finally get their own country, maybe somebody ought to stand up and say, okay, let's protect them now. Now, here's one of the less original things that come out of the Middle East, that comes out of the Middle East, from the lips of guys like bin Laden, and from a lot of really stupid Muslims and Arabs who call themselves fundamentalist or in agreement with bin Laden, or if they're just anti-Israel. You hear a lot of this talk. You hear how Jews weren't in the building when the September 11th attack took place. And that Jews were behind the September 11th attack. And that Jews were behind the anthrax scare. And the Jews basically are responsible for everything. And I remember when I was on the air a few weeks ago, you remember this, Mike? I was saying Jews have been attacked for thousands of years. How's this any different? How's this an original line of thought? You want to come up with something original? Why don't you cats come up with something new? Jews were blamed for the Black Death. They were blamed for the White Death. They've been blamed for, you know, they've been blamed for everything. Lincoln's assassination, the fact that we have not yet developed a longer-lasting light bulb. You know, Jews just, they cause all kinds of problems. And a guy called me, and I don't mind telling you, he was Middle Eastern Arab. That doesn't indicate anything, but he was anti-Israel. And he said to me, you must be a Jew. See, this is another thing that is very common for those of you who are familiar with the phenomenon. It's very common. It's extremely recognizable. If you support in any way, shape, or form the Israeli state, you gotta be a Jew. Because what Gentile, what non-Jew would be insane enough to do that? You also, you confront that same line of thinking on a smaller scale, but nonetheless just as acrimonious, when you stand up, for instance, if you're a white man and you speak out on behalf of the rights of African Americans. I've noticed that as well. It's very common, like I said, extremely predictable. When you speak out in favor, for instance, of the kind of black nationalism that was espoused at one time by Malcolm X, what are you, crazy? Any white man that backs up blacks is considered by other whites to be not just wrong, but insane. There must be something wrong with you. You got to go to a doctor. We got to get you on a gurney, strap you down, pump you full of paraldehyde and Thorazine, because you must be insane. No white man ever speaks out on behalf of any black man. He's got to be nuts to do that. And so for me to say what I said about Israel, I had to be a Jew. And, of course, the sound of this guy's voice was extremely anti-Semitic. You can just tell the way some people say Jew. Are you a Jew? And so I said the thing designed, I was trying to think, what would piss this guy off more than anything? Okay, yes, I am a Jew. But then I thought about it later, that I shouldn't have said it. I should have said, no, I'm not a Jew. And you can't believe it, can you? It stuns your pea brain. So if you want to get rid of some really ignorant thought on this, if you are of any orientation, philosophical orientation, that likes to think that Israel's behind all of this stuff, be an original thinker. Do something different. Think the way millions before you have not thought. And put the blame where it belongs, with just a nut job in Afghanistan right now, living in a cave named Osama bin Laden. Or he may be living somewhere better. He may be, why do I say a cave? He's probably in a freaking penthouse in downtown Kabul, for all I know. He's probably in whatever passes for a five-star hotel in that town. He's in it. Probably smoking pot, snorting coke, drinking American bourbon. He's got different prostitutes every night, boys and girls. In other words, doing all the things that he says a good Muslim shouldn't do. We happen to know this to be the fact because the guys that went after the World Trade Center, those good Islamic jihad warriors, were drinking and getting lap dances the night before. So it was sex and booze. I thought the Quran, isn't there something about the jihad? Nah, never mind. I probably don't get it because I'm a Jew. So I bet you bin Laden right now is having sex with boys, underage, and snorting like South American-produced coke that he bought from an American dealer. 1-800-449-868. That's, I swear to God. In fact, I just heard that. I got the news. It's on the wire. Osama bin Laden has sex with underage boys. And is snorting all kinds of stuff. His favorite is that Johnny Walker Black 20-year-old. It's just, whew, it's good stuff. Shooting pool. He loves Nintendo. He's got a PlayStation. And digs Eden's crush. 1-8, whatever our number is. Maritza?
Yes.
Hello?
Hello?
You're on the air, ma'am.
Yeah. I was wondering, I mean, would it be so bad to actually just let the Middle East people deal with their own problems?
No.
I mean, why does it always seem like America always has to be the police to the world?
Because we need their oil.
Well, we need their oil, but we can buy it. I mean,
well,
they need our money,
that,
too.
We're afraid that if we don't manipulate the politics down there, then we're going to get an unfriendly government in charge of the oil, and they won't sell it to us at any price.
Well, I mean, they need our money. Us. I mean, that's the only way they can get money.
You're right. Well, we're trying to keep the price down. That's basically it. I mean, that's
they don't want us there. Why do we have to be there?
You're right. How can I argue with you? You're right. When you're right, you're right. And you're right. And the bottom line, you and I just boil it down to one thing, Maritza. We don't want to pay a big price for oil. And I don't want to make it entirely mercenary. I do seriously believe that there is a concern on the part, and it's been a longstanding American policy, that Israel survive somehow.
I think we should fund Israel. I mean, they know how to deal with these people. They've been doing it for so long.
Yeah, but even Israel, man, they can't. They've been doing it alone for a long time. I don't know.
Let's give them billions of dollars and let's see what they can do.
I mean, totally agree with you that we need to absolutely remove ourselves from the stench of that place, but we are concerned that American interest in that part of the world would be threatened, and that is energy, primarily. Now you say, well, screw it, we'll just go ahead and pay their price. Well, yeah, okay, if you don't mind spending like $100-$150 a barrel, you know, the price of gas goes through the roof. I don't know. I don't know what that would mean to the American economy. Probably send our inflation index spiraling out of control. And you know, I mean, it's all very economic, and it's all very much about America surviving and the well-being of our country. There's no doubt about it. There's no denying it. There's no denying it.
Okay.
And that's something that we need to look at. But right now, we also are under attack. I mean, we are under vicious attack from this terror network, and we have to deal with those guys. But it all started, I don't have any doubt, with probably our nose being in some places where it shouldn't have been.
Exactly. I mean, it seems like that's the biggest complaint.
Now, Maritza, I want to ask you a question.
Yeah.
Are you a Jew?
Kind of a Jew.
Okay, thank you. Kind of a Jew.
I'm
kind of
to a Jew.
When your baby don't love you.
I'm married to a Jew, so I guess, yes, I am.
Yeah, I know. But I think that, I think you and I just boiled it down beautifully.
All right, thanks.
Kid. Thanks. Bye. We've taken two female calls in the entire show, and one of them, just we don't have to have any more show because she got it nailed. 1-800-449-8686, The Phil Hendry Show.
And now, Phil Hendry.
If you remember like we do when our show used to be funny, you can join the Phil Hendry Backstage Pass Club by just joining up at $6.95 a month. You get our live streaming audio. You get 60 days worth of shows, our archives, plus other rare bits from other generations of the Phil Hendry Show. All of this stuff used to be up there for free on Napster, used to be traded wildly on the internet by opposing Phil Hendry sites. But now the official Phil Hendry Show site has all of the audio, all the archived audio, all the live streaming that you could ever want. You can listen to the show whenever you want. Yes, listen to some of our archived bits. Listen to when we used to be funny and weren't just sitting here worried about what we, you know, was going up the straw going into our nose. It's the philhendryshow.com website, philhendryshow.com website. And you'll be glad you did. And, of course, we will return to the usual comedic shtick that we do on the show when events warrant it. By the way, is this anthrax thing posing a threat to Hollywood? Are people not snorting as much cocaine as they used to for fear that it might be anthrax? For instance, are deals getting blown? Are people getting laid the way they used to? This is tough. Anyway, I didn't mean to take. That's a cheap shot. That's a really cheap shot. And I was encouraged to take that shot by my engineer and sometime producer, Craig Taylor. And that is a rotten. Having said that, I apologize. It was funny during the break, and then I said it, and I'm like, oh, Jesus. I'm awfully sorry. But as you can tell, we're all kind of a little, our nerves are a little frayed. You'll pardon me. 1-800-449-8686, Phil Hendry Show. Rumors of a rift within the ruling coalition of the Taliban groundless, according to the Taliban. The Islamic Press reports Taliban now appealing to opposition Northern Alliance forces to give up its fight and join Taliban in battling the United States because, quote, this is now a question of our religion and country, end quote. Now, who do you think those Northern Alliance guys are going to believe? Well, I don't know, frankly. I don't know what their experience is with the Taliban. I'm sure they know bullcrap when they hear it. And I'm sure they're not fooled about the United States' involvement or interest in Afghanistan either. If you're the Northern Alliance, you're using whoever wants to give you as much as they want to give you for whatever it is you need, right? You're just doing what you got to do to further your... See, we're not shucking and jiving anybody, and neither are they. Northern Alliance informing U.S. planes, apparently the Taliban is now telling its citizens that reporters in Afghanistan are telling U.S. planes where to bomb civilians. All of these little things, these little reports add up to one thing that we were talking about earlier in the show, and that's called losing the propaganda war. 1-800-449-8686. Here's Dave on the Phil Hendry Show. Dave?
Yeah. Hey, Phil, I love your show. Hey, I just had a thought for you about, more our homeland security. You know, we've got Operation Needle in a Haystack going on over in the Middle East. When do we start worrying more about our homeland security with this anthrax scare? What steps are going to be necessary over here to protect us?
Well, what steps are going to be necessary? Probably like making sure that we're not opening up every envelope that comes into the office. Making sure we've got plenty of antibiotic, trying to trace the mail to its origin, find out who is sending it?
With my limited knowledge, I understand that these are being mailed from U.S. cities.
One of them was mailed from Malaysia.
And
which is not a U.S. city. That's in Malaysia. Huh?
Weren't the recent ones that came out today were mailed from New Jersey, weren't they?
The one to Dashiell that came out today?
I believe so.
The one to Reno over the weekend was from Malaysia.
Okay. The one before that, I guess, was from Florida. What I'm wondering is this.
Yeah, so the point is what?
Well, my point is at what point do we, if it's Arab Americans,
how do we know it's Arab Americans?
Well, that's what I'm saying. Or if it's just Arabs, terrorist cells still here in the U.S., at what point do we say, now you're going to lose your freedoms? You're using our freedoms against us. At what point do we say, hey, you're going to lose your freedoms?
When you find out who's guilty?
That's right. And with my limited knowledge, I would assume that it's Arabs that are mailing these, and it's not crazy Americans, you know. Might be our own people. We don't know.
Guilt. Okay, so therefore I don't get it.
Well,
no,
what
lost.
I'm wondering is at what point do you go to the Arabs and say, "Hey, let's have y'all get together. Let's have a national Meet Your Arab American Neighbor night and just check these people out. See who we've got here."
You know, Timothy McVeigh drove a truck full of explosives into the federal building in Oklahoma City. At what point were we supposed to ID all the white men?
Well, that's right. And let's do the
same. You agree with that
thing.
Too?
Let's go through everybody. If we've got to search everybody, start with me. Start with my house. Search me. I have no problem with it.
Well,
and then
I don't
start
really
with an
want
Arab.
To do that. I don't. I'll have someone else do that,
not,
Dave.
It's not feasible, but we've got to. I think we've just got to get our Homeland Security more.
I think our Homeland Security. Here's the thing about Homeland Security. The federal government even said, you know, there's only so much we can do, and then it goes to the state level and the local level. Because for the longest time, we've had differing opinions in this country as to how strong the federal government should be as opposed to state government. And we have a federal government with limited power by design. So that means then the states have to take over. And if need be, county and city governments need to take over. If we need to federalize this more, then we have to pass certain laws that federalize it more. Is the state apparatus, the collection of states, are they capable enough to handle this? Or do we need a more of a federal interest in this situation? The answer to that question is, I don't know. I would think, I would probably personally feel more secure if the federal government had a bigger hand in this and was not so much, kind of passing off to the states a lot of this. However, maybe the states do a better job. But the point is that people at this time are looking to Washington to do something about it. Now, we have a federal mail delivery service. That is not provided by the states. That means that the government of the United States, in some part, delivers the mail. And that being the case, then perhaps some check, some identification, some investigation at the postmaster general level is needed. But if you want to start kicking in doors and going through everybody's house, that isn't even going to do the job. Because people can hide anything from anyone. You need some kind of an intelligence apparatus that lets you know about this stuff before it happens. Okay, here's Vicky on the Phil Hendry Show. Vicky?
Yeah.
Hi.
Hi. The reason why I'm calling is you said you didn't have a lot of females calling in tonight, and I just wanted to give you a perspective.
Yeah, they never do. That's okay.
Well, I wanted to give you a perspective from another chick, and when you had the lady call in and say that we shouldn't be doing anything, you know, give it all to Israel, let's not be involved with it. It's just, you know, we've been pacifists for a long time and let the terrorists do what they want. And
we
look
have?
What got us.
We've been pacifists?
Well, sure. We've ignored the terrorism situation long enough to let it to arise to this kind of level. And
I don't know. I mean,
reserved,
we bombed Libya. We bombed Libya after we found evidence of terrorism there.
Well, but we haven't taken proactive resorts. We haven't taken...
Tell you what, Vicky, I want you to hold on. You're going to be the first caller when I come back from the break, all right? So you hang
okay.
on, all right? Because I want to hear what you got to say, all right?
Okay.
Okay. Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
The Phil Hendry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
CNN and Fox News are now reporting that there may be another case involving ABC News of anthrax, a possible exposure involving the child of an employee of ABC News, a child who had recently visited the newsroom there. So Mayor Giuliani is going to be giving a news conference concerning possible anthrax exposure at ABC News. Hate to have to drop that bomb on you like that as we go back to Vicky here, but Vicky, go ahead.
Well, have you ever traveled overseas?
Yes, I have.
Well, the security overseas is phenomenal compared to what we have. Yeah, they have terrorist bombings, but they of this magnitude, it's, you know, obviously it hasn't ever happened before because this is the first time worldwide anything has happened, but the security levels that they have there are absolutely 100% better than we have.
Yes, I agree. And I mentioned following September the 11th that we might want to, as a nation, use Israel as a model or, you know, Britain during World War II as a model as to how a populace gets through a violent attack on its society and on its nation and how a country survives just the grueling day-to-day grind of constantly having to look out for terrorist attacks the way that Israel has had to do that. And you know, that's, and they still have a flourishing and thriving democracy.
Well, but the problem is right now with people saying we shouldn't do anything is that's not proactive.
I don't hear
that's
anybody saying that we shouldn't do anything. Who's saying
you
that?
You know what? I'm seeing people all the time like, well, you know, this is horrible. This is a war. Yeah. Oh, you know what, though? We haven't done anything to protect us from the beginning. We got to nip it in the bud, take care of these people, and then start protecting the homeland.
No, we got to go on a wartime footing. There's no doubt about it. We have to shore up the security of the country. There's no doubt about that. We also have to start looking down the road now about how exactly we conduct ourselves internationally. How far-reaching can we be as a nation? How far-reaching can our military be? What are we doing sending American men and women around the other side of the world fighting in Afghanistan against the Taliban because we have tied up the future of this country in an investment in foreign oil? I mean, because
that's
where it's at.
That's a whole nother thing.
Well, you know what? You can't have a secure country at home and then fund this far-reaching armed forces that sort of has stations around the world like we've got precinct houses, like we're cops, you know. At some point, it becomes a difficult thing to provide. It becomes a difficult thing to fund.
Yeah, well, that's absolutely true. But one of the things that's bothersome is we haven't taken steps to become independent from those things.
Well, we better start. I mean, it's all there is to it. We got to start now. We must. We must because, you know, we've just been ignorant too long. We've been asleep as a people for too long. We have been asleep as a populace for too long. We have been self-absorbed. We have, you know, all of it good. That's nothing wrong with that. But you got to see which way you're going, man, when you're driving the car, you know. I mean, you got to look down the freeway a few exits ahead to see exactly where you want to navigate this thing. As it turns out, maybe we've got a handful of Americans really interested in that, and the rest of us just sort of go along until something like this happens, and we don't even know why. We don't have a handle on why because we simply didn't have the time, I guess, to find out. Vicky, thanks a lot for your call. 1-800-449-8686. Dave, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, Phil, I'll tell you why. These guys that attacked us, they could read, okay? These women over there that are getting these ration packets saying, I don't know what to do with this because I can't read, but I know it's food. And they walk miles to get it, okay? The problem is these guys that can read, they think they have a superior culture to ours. But everybody that can get Western culture, when they pull the shutters closed and turn the lights off, I mean, they're turning on that satellite as fast as they can. And you got these—you got your little girl grows up and joins the army in this country, and they send her to Saudi Arabia, and she has to stay on the base. She can't go out because she offends the people.
Well, she's
protected.
Already got that. So what? So that's an American.
What a bunch
so she's got.
That is.
What are you talking about?
I'm saying put
that's
it
an American who already understands. That's an hey. Don't.
Yeah.
Don't. Okay, let's talk.
Yeah.
That's an American who already gets it, okay? Who do you got to propagandize an American female soldier? I'm talking about the people that live over there already.
I'm saying we have
You're telling
women.
Me they're bright enough. They're going to identify with you, huh, Dave, before they do Bin Laden?
Wait.
Yeah, they really know a lot about you, man. They want to be you.
We have our girls and boys join the army, and they go over there like a policeman to protect the Saudi degenerates who fly in airplane full of young girls to fool around with while, you know, they beat people on the street for showing their ankle, okay?
I'm not denying any of that. I'm talking about a propaganda war. The facts have nothing to do with propaganda. The facts are the facts. Propaganda is how you sell it to the people. And the people over there consider Americans. You know, you're preaching to the choir here, man.
But they consider
American society to be degenerate.
Yeah, well, you can't sell to people who can't read and don't have televisions, okay? You can't do it. We have to be like the Roman legions. We have to be like the U.S. cavalry.
Tell you what, Dave, you in the front line, how about that, all right? Screw off, you bug me. Your big fat mouth down there in Fort Lauderdale, I finally, you know, I'm getting like an earful of you. We got to be like the cavalry. You lead the charge, dickhead. Let's go down there and crush them like the Indians, huh? Let's go down there and kick ass. What kind of a world do you think you live in right now, anyway? You think this is General Patton rolling his tanks across the land and everybody is going to greet us with flowers and flags flying? Do you think they're going to kiss the American soldiers as they come into these villages? More likely as not, they're going to roll a freaking bomb into any pub or restaurant where they happen to stop and have themselves a bite to eat. God forbid a beer. Can't get one there anyway, can they? Are we airdropping beer to those people? Because that's a very important thing. We're going to go down there and crush them, huh? How do you propose we do that in a country where you can't even find them? How do you propose? The Soviets tried it. Hello? The Russians tried it for 14 years with tanks, with guns, with the second strongest military in the world. I put ours first, of course. 14 years. And they lost 20,000 men doing it and didn't do squat. When they got home, the whole nature of their country and society had changed forever. That's what they got out of their problem. What do you think we're going to do? So now we're doing our air campaign thing, which is the way that we do it. You know, we drop lots and 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 lots of bombs. And then we roll in with the ground forces. And, you know, during the Gulf War, the Iraqis came out of their holes with their hands raised, happy to see anybody, you know, with an American uniform on. You think it's going to happen with these guys? I don't know. I think you take every situation individually. You take every situation on an individual basis. These guys already fought the Russians. The idea, I thought, was to soften up their communication, destroy it altogether, destroy their ability to fly, and destroy their ability to effectively communicate and to move their troops around through communication, and then send in special ops to find Al-Qaeda and Bin Laden lieutenants and neutralize these guys, and then also to remove the Taliban from power. Now, that was the initial, let's just go back and think about what the initial proposal was by President Bush, the terrorists and the governments that sponsor them. Okay, that means you got to take out the Taliban. Then you got to get in there and wipe out the terrorists, or at least their bases, or at least enough of the leadership structure so that it doesn't exist in Afghanistan. Then you got to move on to maybe Syria. Then you got to move on to Iraq. Then you got to move on to God knows where they are in Europe. And how about right here? This is not something you do rolling divisions of Marines in. So get away from the big screen TV rerun of Patton for the 800th time and get out and smell the roses. Go out and smell the gunpowder. And I said it last week. I'm going to say it again. You know, the less of the war news I see, the better, because all of this stuff gets transmitted to them. They know every bloody move we're making. We got big fat mouths in Congress talking about it. All right, I'm going to take a break here. I'm going to check out Mayor Giuliani's press conference. I'll be right back. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.
Nine, eight.
8686. Now, Phil Hendry.
The word from CNN is that the person, it was an infant, apparently infected with the cutaneous type of anthrax. The child of this ABC employee, the child had visited the ABC newsroom, I believe, September 28th. And September 28th is a significant date because there were cases of exposure, I think, in that time frame anyway, at NBC, if I'm not mistaken. Anyway, the child is doing all right. The child has responded well to treatment, and for a while they didn't know what the kid had, but they believe they have received a positive test from biopsy and blood tests of what's called cutaneous anthrax, which is the kind that infects the skin, or is the skin anthrax, if I can coin a phrase. And that is what they're talking about right now in New York. And there have been no other cases, according to Mayor Giuliani, who continues to impress as he handles this nightmare situation in New York. He just continues to impress me. I know he impresses a lot of people. According to him, there would have been other cases by now if other people had been exposed. So who's ever sending these envelopes, who is ever mailing these things, you know, they're delivering it by way of mail because that is the most sophisticated delivery system that they've got. They haven't hurt that many people. One person is dead. There are now, I think, 13 cases of exposure, but everybody else is fine. But the more important thing to keep in mind is if they're intention was to scare us, that's exactly what they're doing. So that's what a terrorist war does. And they're scaring people. And so I can tell you, to put it into perspective, I can tell you that these are isolated instances. I can tell you that it doesn't represent any real sophisticated ability to deliver this. It doesn't represent any sophisticated ability to wage bioterrorist war. I can tell you that till the cows come home, and you're still going to be freaked, and I don't blame you. But we have to understand that we are at war, and we didn't start this. We were attacked. You can argue with me for hours on end, and we can enjoyably have ourselves a couple of cocktails and say, American policy led to the present state of affairs. That's possibly true. In part true. There's a lot of other policies going on out there besides ours. However, the fact is, this war began with an attack on us. Somebody attacked us. Somebody has it in for us. Somebody don't like us too much, and they're blowing up our buildings and killing our people and mailing them anthrax. Somebody's got a problem with America. Got to find out who that is. We got to deal with it. By the way, I haven't got any emails lately from any of my fine pacifist friends up north. Look, I'm not putting them down, and I understand there are many who are conscientious objectors. I just, you know, as this thing becomes, as it escalates, if you will, or as it becomes a more acute situation, the talk of we need to have restraint suddenly sort of goes by the way, you know, by the wayside a little bit. 1-800-449-8686. Paula, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Hello.
Hi. Quick story for you, and then I'll get to my point. My fiancé is originally from Northern Ireland, and he came over to study on a student visa. And coincidentally, about, I would say, a month before this whole thing happened, I said to him, "Hon, what would have happened to you if you didn't leave when your visa expired?" And he kind of chuckled at me. It was my own being very, very naive. And he kind of chuckled at me. He said, "Nothing. As long as you fly below the radar and you don't do anything, you'd be fine." My biggest fear in this whole thing is that once it's not constantly on CNN anymore, once we reach certain objectives and it's not on CNN anymore and it's not constantly on MSNBC anymore, that the problem with the visas is going to go right back to where it is now. And I don't know where the
funding people coming in here on tourist visas?
People coming in on visas and then not leaving.
It happens, and I have friends from Ireland, speak of the devil, who've gotten here, and England, who've gotten here on tourist visas and just haven't left.
Right.
Yeah, it happens. You know, people are talking an awful lot about how the American citizen can do his part, you know, and during the Second World War, there were all those posters, you know, loose lips sink ships and do your part and idle hands work for Hitler and all of that stuff. I mean, there was a lot of that. And, you know, I'm telling you, if you know of people who are here on expired visas and you're worried about it, then you ought to say something to somebody.
Yeah, no, let's make clear. He's here permanently now. He had a child while he was here.
No, I'm not talking about your fiancé. I'm talking about if you know of people that are here on expired visas and you're concerned about that, then what good does it do to keep your mouth shut?
Well, and it doesn't. But I think a lot of time, I think you have groups of people. I don't want to call them cells, obviously, for reasons. But I think you have groups of people that are flying under the radar, and they're not making a lot of friends. And they're just trying to stay very much to themselves and do the thing. And those are the people that you're never going to find. And obviously the government doesn't have the resources to find them.
Right. You know what? It's impossible. If we could sit here all night, Paula, and come up with, we could come up with premise after premise and situation after situation where we're not completely airtight secure in the country. So we have to kind of deal with a couple of punches to the gut, then we got to get back up and throw some back ourselves. That's what a war is all about. And stay together as people so that if there is somebody who is doing this country harm, then maybe we can help the police, or assist whoever in capturing these people. And I don't know that you have to be friends with them. It can be anybody. These guys now, everybody in retrospect is saying, well, geez, I should have known the guys only wanted flying lessons on how to fly in the air. They didn't really want to know how to land or take off the plane, if I'd only thought. So, Paula, I'm not belittling your call, but we could sit here all night and come up with scenario after scenario on how America can be compromised. You there?
Sure.
Yeah,
what
would you have us do? I'm saying, and as a citizen, at some point, we have to step in and assist the police and assist the government in perhaps securing the country.
Absolutely, and you'll get no argument from me with that.
I mean, other than that, I don't know what you can do when somebody comes in on a... You could restrict visas from certain countries. You could begin to restrict student visas and tourist visas from people who are traveling here from the Middle East.
Well,
although that doesn't keep them from traveling. Huh?
I'm not sure that's necessarily fair to people either, and I realize that we're not in a utopia. I realize that we have to be very careful.
Right.
And I don't know what the solution is, but that's
my solution. My solution is at some point as citizens, we have to take part in the security of the country. And if we know of people who are here on an expired visa, I would simply ask this question, what good is it doing you to keep your mouth shut about that? So,
yes, absolutely.
All right, thanks for calling.
Thank you.
Bye. Because at some point, we all got to step up to the plate and all of that wonderful halftime speech from Newt Rockne, and you've heard it. And at some point, we have to stop backpedaling as a country, because right now we are backpedaling. We've been thrown a haymaker, and we're taking a couple of shots here, and we're trying to find our bearings. We will, so long as we begin to develop a thicker skin and a little bit more of a courageous attitude that this is the price of waging a war against an enemy that brought it to us, that attacked us, and would like to destroy us. The Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686.